All right, Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 106 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, as I said, this at one time was the closing study on a series on Revelation. There are some things that might perplex us. Our minds, no doubt, have considered some things in the past as we contemplated, knowing that God is the only source of life and such like. Surely we pondered, where did the different races come from? How did the different languages have their beginning and take their root? Why are there human beings on every remote island of the sea, no matter how remote or how small? What about people who have lived in the past? Where did Cain and Abel get their wives, seeing there was but one family to propitiate the human race? How did the languages develop, which at the first was a separator of mankind and intended for that? And what kind of division is meant in the text? Texts like Genesis 10, verse 25, "For in his days was the earth divided," and then that one that we read in our text. Now, perhaps the first thing to do is to start with that question, how to account for the different human races that there are upon the face of the earth, especially when we are bound to admit that all have come from one common couple or bond. Acts 17 and verse 26, "And he made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth." Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8, "When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according unto the number of the children of Israel." Now, mankind did not evolve. We believe that to be certainly a true statement. None of them, not each nationality, had for themselves a separate pair of individual that from which they descended. All came from Adam and from Eve. Certainly that must be our conclusion by the scripture. But all these different races and all these different nationalities and cultures and languages and such like, as in Genesis chapter 32, or 3 and verse 2, I'm sorry, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve," and the margin says "living," because she is the mother of all living. Acts 17:26 again, hath made of one blood all nations of men. And Paul there in Acts 17 and verse 26 may be staining the pride of the Athenians in being native inhabitants of our land. They called it Octocton, or Aborigines is the word that you may sometimes hear, that they were native descendants of that area, some even saying that they sprung up out of the soil. So let's see what light the scripture might be able to shine upon these questions for us this evening. Where did the races originate in the scripture? Remembering that Eve is the mother of us all, Genesis 3 and verse 20. And up to the Tower of Babel, we read, Genesis 11 and verse 1, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And very clearly, there are different races of people that inhabit the earth. There are several distinct races of mankind that are to be found upon the earth. Some say from 3 to 6 different kinds of people there are that are dwelling upon the face of the earth. Now, our first consideration, therefore, is to inquire as to how this is. Again, seeing that all descended from one common pair, and that would be Adam and Eve. How did they come to be the various features, or have the various features that are characteristic of each one of the groups, seeing that evolution is not the answer, for they did not evolve? Now, I should tell you that the matter of whether the flood was local or whether it was universal has a bearing, a definite bearing, upon this question. For some there are who contend for a localized flood only in the book of Genesis. They also contend for a pre-Adamite race dwelling upon the face of the earth that preceded Adam and Eve. That is, so that they are simply an extension, or an existence rather, before Adam and Eve were created. One such person is R.A. Torrey. You might have heard of him, rather well known in days gone by. He held to a pre-Adamite race of men, and even held that some lived in over into Bible time. And to show how one era leads to another, Torrey also believed that the days in Genesis were not 24-hour days, but they were long periods of time, and that Genesis is simply an account of recreation, not of original. You find that in R.A. Torrey's book, Difficulties in the Bible, I think page 32, if you're interested in tracing it out. Bernard Graham, in his book, Science and the Scripture, posits the position that there were pre-Adamite people and a local flood, which accounts for the diversity, he said, of the human race. Now, some solve the difficulty in a simpler way by saying that Noah had 3 sons. One was white, one was black, and one was yellow. And the other species, or the other variations of these 3, are simply what we have in the world today. So the question is, how could this variation occur since all mankind involved and proceeded from Adam and Eve, from the one blood, as Paul says it? Unless it be admitted that such genes were created by God and created in Adam and in Eve. It should be noted that evolutionists, in their pursuit of their dogma, have no answer for the race differences and the race features according to evolution. They can claim that man came up from a fish or from a reptile, or mammals came to be human being, yet they cannot explain the different races that exist in the Homo sapiens species upon the face of the earth. Said the famous evolutionist Theodosius Dobzhansky in his book Sexual Selection and the Descent of Man, page 75, quote, "It is almost incredible that a century after Darwin, the problem of the origin of racial differences in the human species remains about as baffling as it was in his time, unquote. Therefore, in tracing out the various pedigrees, we will consider, if you might, three passages of the scripture. Number one, Noah's prophecy concerning his sons in Genesis 9 and verse, I believe, 24 through verse 27. And number two, the genealogy of Noah's sons in Genesis chapter 10. A, Japheth in verses 2 through 5, and B, Ham in verse 6 through verse 20, which lineage produced Nimrod, a very wicked, open enemy of God, and C, his son Shem in verses 21 through 32. And out of this race, out of this son, came Abraham and the Abrahamic family and offspring. You'll find that in Genesis 11 and verse 10 through verse 32. But then thirdly, in Genesis 11, 8 and 9, the Lord God scattered mankind over the face of the earth, and that by families, by tribes, and by nation. In the Lord's providence, he directed the dispersing of the various families of the human family out over the face of all of the earth. Now, let's look first of all at the prophecy of Noah regarding his sons. You have it in Genesis chapter 9, 24 through verse 27. And Noah made prophetic predictions regarding each of his three sons. And I trust here, and I trust none here would dismiss the prophecy of Noah on the ground that he had been recently drunk and therefore not reliable, chapter 9, 20 through 23. Not dismiss that any more than you would dismiss the prophecy of Jacob, who lay upon his bed, deathbed, making prophecy, might be dismissed by some as hallucination, in Genesis 41, 1 through 33. Thus, the fact that Noah had been recently drunk, or Jacob died soon after he'd spoken, in no way diminishes the truthfulness of their prophecy. Both prophesy to their sons as to what shall face them and what shall befall them in the time to come. Noah to his three and Jacob to his 12 sons gathered about his bed. Now, we understand Noah to be speaking under inspiration as he delivers his prophecy, not drunken babblings, but inspired prophecy, for he awakened from his wine in verse 24, in case we're interested. Especially are we interested, I think, in the seed of Ham. Canaan, who seemed to exhibit some of the carnality of his father Ham before him, Noah, by the Spirit, discerned both the moral character and the future state of his sons whom he had begotten. First, let's look at the prophecy of the three sons. Ham, in Genesis 9, 25. And he, that is, referring unto Noah, said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." Which case was servitude is repeated in relation to his two brothers, Shem, verse 26, and Japheth in verse 27. Now, there can be no doubt that Canaan was cursed for his father Ham's sake, as we read the scripture. Verse 18, "And Ham is the father of Canaan." Verse 22, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And though the sin was Ham, yet the curse lighted upon Canaan." What was Ham's sin? Well, you have it in Genesis 9, 21 and 22, when he beheld the nakedness of his father and seemed to act in a very carnal way. Ham's sin, seeing Noah's nakedness, was not accidental. It was not unintentional, but it was what somebody called a willful flaunting of the sad situation. And he took the tale about it unto his brothers. So, as one said, Noah's sin and fall served to display the hearts of his son. One son, Ham, made sport of his father's situation, while the others turned their back and covered the nakedness of their father in the 23rd verse. Their behavior influenced Noah's prophecy, especially in the case of Ham. I read John Gill, who said, Ham is represented by many writers as a very wicked, immodest, and profligate character, and speaks of him as the public corrupter of mankind, that he taught men to live as before the flood, to lie with their mothers and their sisters and their daughters and brutes and creatures of all sort, and that he actually did so himself. End of quote. John Gill's observation of this son. Kyle and Daly said, the sin of Ham, there lies the great stain for the whole Hamitic race, whose chief characteristic, it seemed, was or is sexual sin. The descendants of Canaan became enemies of the Lord. They became hewers of wood and drawers of water. Joshua chapter 9, verse 21 through 27, and 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, so that the descendants of Ham eventually settled in Egypt and in Africa. And by the way, out of the line of Ham came Nimrod, a very wicked and a very violent tyrant of a man, and led that generation to defy God and seek to build a tower that reached even into heaven. Then we come to the son Shem, S-H-E-M, of Noah, verse 26. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, or rather Shem's God blessed, which is not said of Japheth later. The line of Shem produced the patriarch Abraham. You see that again in Genesis 11, 10 through 32. Thus the Jews descended from Noah's son Shem. And ultimately, so did the Messiah. And for centuries, these were the stewards of God's worship upon the face of the earth. Thirdly, Japheth, Genesis 10, 2 through 5. Japheth was to be the progenitor of many nations, of the people, and of the Gentile, and would spread to a large part of the known world of that day and ours, and to islands even of the sea. Matthew Henry, the commentator, believed that the descendants of Japheth went to people Europe, much of Asia, and possibly part of America. But let's be more specific. As all came from Adam, so all the natural nationalities and all the races descended from the three sons of Noah after Noah and his wife. Now, from Ham came such people as the Egyptians and the Canaanites, the African tribe, some Orientals as Chinese and Japanese, and in the opinion of Henry Morris, you know who Henry Morris is, he wrote a lot against evolution and for biblical creation. He included in that list the American Indian as well. And from Shem came the Jews and perhaps others. From Japheth came then the European. Thus, these three gave the world three philosophies as well as three kinds of people. One spiritual, one material, and one physical. One promoted monotheism, one pantheism, and the other polytheism, so that they live in the world. But now we come to an important matter. That is the Tower of Babel and the dividing of humanity into many nations, many tribes, and many different dialects. For until now, two things had been true of the human family. Number one, they were all of one speech and of one language. Therefore, they were all able to communicate one with the other. Genesis 11, verse 1 again, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And secondly, not only were they of one speech and language, but they were all congregated in one place. Some people think possibly the old time Babylon. And then God scattered them. So we read in our text, Genesis 11, 8 and 9, the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. Now there are three mentions of a dividing of the earth in Genesis chapter 20. I'll read them. Verse 5, by these, that is, the sons of Japheth, were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land, everyone after his tongue, after their family, and in their nation. Then in verse 25, and unto Eber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg, P-E-L-E-G, and then watch this statement, for in his days was the earth divided. And the word Peleg, or the name Peleg, means division or margin. We're not surprised at that. Then look at verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nation, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, it was the will of God that people inhabit every part of the earth, that there be different nation, there be different tribe, languages, nationality, and such like. For God defeated their plan of one worldism. They wanted to stay together and be together and not be scattered. And God overruled their plan of one worldism and separated them and caused there to be among them different cultural, racial, economic, and religious differences. This he did at Babel, and by so simple a method as confusing their language. Now, we won't go into it, but for the meaning of dividing the earth, there are two views of it that you might find the commentators holding. Number one, that it speaks of a continent drift or polar wandering, as it is sometimes called, that there was an actual shift in the mass of the land separating one continent from another. The original earth may or may not have been all in one piece, but we do know that the water was gathered together in one place. So some think that the accounts of these being people in every place, including the islands of the sea. There's a second view that it describes the work of God in polarizing, or should we say, in pairing off the people into various nations. Or in other words, that the words scattered, Genesis 11, 8 and 9, equal the words divided in Genesis 10, verse 5, 25, and 32. God scattered by dividing them into group. Having divided, he scattered them using the language as a main force unto that end. And though Babel means confusion, yet the dispersion was, it seemed, orderly. For the scattering and dividing was not shuffling of all together, but the division was according to tongue and family and nations, chapter 10 and verse 5. In other words, the family of Ham dispersed together, as did the family of Shem and of Japheth. And in Genesis 10, 5, 10, 20, and 10:31, because God gave each one of them a dialect, they understood each other in their own tongue, for God's caused them to speak with different languages or tongue, much like he reversed that procedure in the miracle of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Thus, by this miracle, he separated the families of the sons of Noah according unto kindred and language. Then, that brings us to discuss two questions. Number one, since all came from a common stock, how is it that we see different races and nationalities with traits common unto their races? And how about skin color, physical traits, and red, white, brown, and yellow? Did God at Babel make some change in their genes, or did he engineer it in a certain way we do not know about? But first, let's remember one thing that we learned from our study of the scripture, that all human beings have a very unique DNA, which program such things as heredity, traits, and diseases, and eye, and hair, and skin tone. All these factors are dependent upon the DNA or the gene structure of the producing parent. Remember what it said in Genesis so many times, after his kind or after their kind. The answer is either one of two things. A, God created and preserved in the flood survivors in a gene pool or variation sufficient to give rise to all the various nationalities in the world. Or B, God altered by some miracle, not beyond his power or skill or wisdom, at Babel or soon thereafter, to bring about the will of scattering the people upon the face of the earth, as to make, therefore, the different races that we see. And as these stayed more or less to themselves, congregating and gathering to themselves, they produced then, of course, after their kind, with a fraction of the whole genetic range of the human family from which it had been separated. And this caused rapid surfacing of genetic traits common to their nation, physical traits and appearances that were unique unto them. Henry Morris said it can only take one generation to produce all the color variation that we see today. But then secondly, how did the people get in every place in the world? Wherever there is land mass, wherever there is land area, we have found people living in those places. The Indians in America, the Negroes in Africa, the nations of the Isles of the Sea, the Eskimos up north, and such like. How and why did they arrive at those particular places? We are not told and have no scripture to tell us. But at any rate, God caused a worldwide dispersion or division of people. All but the sons of Shem and Abraham, listen to this, were left for a long time without spiritual illumination and revelation. According to God's good pleasure, he left all mankind, with the exception of these, without a spiritual revelation. Though everywhere that men lived, wherever they were, God gave unto them in creation and conscience a revelation of himself. In creation and in conscience, both spoke unto them of God's existence, but they did not have a spiritual revelation as God had given to the line of Abraham. And so we ask, what are those people therefore left in those conditions and in those situations? What about that? Well, all we can conclude, and we have to stay with the scripture, go no further than it takes us, is that God created one pair, Adam and Eve, and from them came all people and all nations of people in the world. From them came both elect and reprobate. And so God revealed, or he hid himself unto them, according as it was his good pleasure, and for that were they created, and God's purpose was worked out in them. He made all things for himself. And in due time, the Son assumed humanity and dwelt in the world among men and revealed God the Father further and further unto us. I just close by saying evolution is a bankrupt philosophy without a single article of proof, not one example of evolution in action can be found or has ever been found upon the face of the earth. As Christians we stand. God created Adam and Eve. They did not evolve. God propagated the race. They did not evolve from a bug or a mud puddle or something of that sort. We do not understand it all, but by faith we believe that God, by his word, formed the heaven and the earth in Hebrews chapter 11.